Hello and welcome to Pumped, the Insub podcast by Schwalbe. I'm your host Tobias Woggon and I'm talking here to Schwalbe athletes from different disciplines, from downhill to cross country or from triathlon to gravel racing. And today I'm talking to Buenvenido Aguado, one of the top world freeriders who just got invited to Red Bull Rampage 2024. In this episode, we talked about all the work and the preparation that goes into Rampage. I wanted to know what is all about Rampage, what is so special on the event, and how is it as a European to ride in the motherland of freeride in Utah. All that in this episode of Pumped. Hey, Bienve, thanks a lot for taking the time to do the podcast with us. Where are you right now?
It's been a pleasure. I'm in Barcelona right now, where I live, in a town called Cervelló, in a super chill neighborhood, like getting prepared for Rampage and everything. And it's been good now. Good weather, pretty warm, but I'm being able to practice in my jump and the bike parks around, so it's been good.
Okay, so that means even if it's hot, you're still able to go and ride your bike.
Basically, we wake up early in the morning. When I go to my spot, I go the night before, I sleep there, and I wake up like 7 or something to be ready by 8, and then we ride till 11 or in the afternoon. But specifically on my jump, the sun is in the face in the afternoon sometimes. Mm-hmm. So we actually love the mornings because we make sure we get like 3 solid hours of riding. And same for the bike parks. We go late in the afternoon in La Poma, for example, when the wind is less strong in the bike parks.
Okay, so that sounds really good. So this week, all over Instagram, there have been a lot of people posting their invitation to Rampage, and you did it as well. How important is it for you to get this invitation for Rampage every year?
I mean, this year it is not a wild card, which is super satisfying for me. It just pre-qualified because last year's result, which was something that had me taking it a little easier to on my mind at least, because but my first invite was at Proving Grounds when I qualified at the event. I got fourth place and this got me an alternate spot, and I went in because another rider got injured, and Emil Johansson, his first Rampage was the same, he was fifth and he got in as well. So by then I wasn't really, I didn't really understood what was Rampage and everything, but I kind of learned the hard way, because I was like, okay, I qualified. I wasn't expecting to get qualified for Rampage, but then I was like, okay, I don't, by the time I didn't feel ready, to be honest, for a Rampage, because of steep riding and all of that. I wasn't the downhill bike for a year when I went to my first Rampage. So the tricks were there, the airtime was there, but the downhill skills were not. Honestly, I was a rookie by then.
But so, is there a time when you really can say you're ready for Rampage? Because, I mean, Rampage is so gnarly. You ever be ready for it?
You can be prepared, you can be trained, you can be set as much as you can, but yeah, there is nowhere you train for Rampage than in the actual venue. So yeah, you can get your skills dialed and everything, but yeah, you actually just train if you're in Utah. That's the only way you can train for Rampage, and you get you get to go to those exposed hills and do the thing, you know. So after
so special,
Proving Grounds, it's there's nothing like. Here in Spain, people are like, how do you practice for Rampage? I'm like, I don't. I just do something else. I practice my skills, my tricks, my jumps, my confidence. I go to some gnarly shoots and I try to be like prepared for steepness. But man, I go a couple days earlier, I get warmed up, I try to don't risk too much, and then I get into the business, you know. It is what it is. So the really important wild card I've got was last year, because last year it was a wild card that I got for the work I've been doing since 2019.
Yeah.
Because my first Rampage, I was a rookie. I tried to put in the table something solid. I crashed, unfortunately. I learned the hard way. But then I was like, okay, this is what I really want to do. Then those 4 years in between, I was really like getting ready for it. And last year I got my wild card, and then I was like, okay, now it's time to shine and try my best. I was pretty happy with the result. Could have been better, but I can't complain. So it's completely cool. And since I got qualified straight from last year's result, for this year I was like, oh, cool, now it's time to enjoy. So now I'm on that mood. I want to enjoy it, you know? Last year I had so much pressure.
Yeah.
This year I have a little bit less. I have the pressure I want to put on my own self, but not that much, that many extra I want to show to the world, you know?
Because yeah. Okay. So that means this year you're a little bit more chill because you know that you're in the event since last Rampage. But when you get a wild card, what is the time you know that you're invited? Is it the time when Rampage tells you, okay, now it's your official invited and you can repost it, or do you know it weeks or months before?
Usually the alternate guys, they know they're in a couple days before that Red Bull releases this to the public.
Okay.
The pre-qualified guy, of course, we know since last year.
Yeah.
And they send an email like 2 weeks before people know.
And this year you had the chance to schedule your year until Rampage. So
yeah.
How important is this event for you? Because you doing a lot of other events in the year, but it seems like there are a couple of guys just showing up on Rampage every year and not doing any other events, and they still making a living just out of this one event. How important is it for you to do well or to be invited on this event?
Yeah, I love to ride big jumps. So when it comes to events, I cannot avoid to go to events like Darkfest, Freeride Fiesta, Swatch Nines, all of those. They are super good to create content, to have fun, to grow the skills. It's just so much fun. I got to see all my freerider friends. So it's very good. But yeah, of course, the bigger exposure to promotion, to the brands, to be known over the world, it's Rampage. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's why business wise Rampage is a good point of view for all the brands. So mm-hmm. This is a good point. Also, personally, make people know yourself. If you do a good at Rampage, there's for sure people that's gonna recognize you after Rampage.
Yeah.
For example, I mean, I had some people following me already before Rampage last year, but since I did that front flip, there is way more people that knows who I am.
Yeah.
So you get exposed to a good amount of people in Rampage, good amount of social media, and this pays off with the sponsors. So this is the way of only doing Rampage, you can make a living out of it. But
it's crazy, huh? It's so yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, of course. But anyways, I don't want to do only Rampage. I want to do all the big bike events.
Yeah. Especially Rampage, it has such a big history. And I mean, this is on the calendar for so many years. I mean, there has been a break between these years, but still it's one of the first really freeride competition. And I mean, you're still kind of young. When did you first got in contact with Utah and with Rampage, when you get to know about it?
Yeah, actually, I've been looking at Rampage when Andrew was riding, when he got first, 2012. We were teammates on YT, so this is where I started having a look at Rampage. But I was a dirt jump guy by the time. I was a slopestyle rider, and I was like, this is way too far for me. I don't even do downhill, nah. And then in 2018, YT sent me a carbon 2S downhill bike. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that was the next thing to do for me, because I was kind of over it of slopestyle. So I just moved into one bike to the other one just for fun. And then I realized there was way more jumps, huge jumps to hit with that bike, way more business, because the brands, they love way more big bike than their jump bike. And then when I, that's when I moved to big bike. Then I discovered that event, Proving Grounds, and then I qualified, and then I went to Utah. I didn't went to Utah before that. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't preparing myself for being a Rampage rider till I got the invite for it. I was like, okay, I might give it a good try. So then I went to Rampage, and it was a disaster, the first Rampage, honestly. I went, because they told me super late, my alternate spot was being converted to an actual riding spot. Mm-hmm. So I could fly 3 days before the event. My bike got missed, so delayed it. So I had to drive. I didn't sleep for 48 hours. My first 2 days in Utah, I didn't sleep for 48 hours. Doing stuff, preparing the event, going to get the bike at the airport. I was nervous, so it was a complete disaster. So I had like 1.5 days of practice in Utah before Red Bull Rampage 2018. So I did everything the wrong way. I learned the hard way, but then after Rampage and my mistakes, I was like, okay, now then I need to go to actual Utah for 3 weeks, ride the place, know the terrain, do a video part, and that's what I did. I took my girlfriend, we did a video part, I sent some tricks, I had sent some big gaps, and that's when I actually met Utah properly, because when I went for Rampage, I just met the shovel, and we almost had no practice because I had to do so much stuff on the line, so, yeah.
I mean, you've done probably hundreds of dirt jump competition or freeride competition, and you're so what makes Rampage so different to all the other events you've done? What makes it special?
Mainly the building. Mm-hmm. I mean the venue, it's steep, it's gnarly, but the Rampage is the only one competition you get the I can say the chance or the nightmare to build your own line. But yeah, this is what's so special about it. Because you need to measure really good the amount of energy you have to build, then ride, then compete.
Yeah, I mean, you as a rider, you have to build your stuff with a small crew, right?
Yeah,
so everything you see on television afterwards, or most of it, it's built by the rider themselves. I mean, there is a little pre-built stuff, but the most work is done by the riders, right?
Yeah, basically they install the starting gate, the hoses, but yeah, the everything else has to be built by the riders, yeah.
So, last year you have been super successful. I mean, you have done an insane line. You front flip the Canyon Gap, and you won the Magaza Award, and super successful. How is it as a European rider to ride in the motherland of freeride with all the Americans in this special venue and being so successful?
It was super special after my crash in practice and all the doubts in my own brain. It was special to make it to the bottom, and being able to do it twice, it was even more special. Because the thing is, I got so excited, I throw the bike after my last feature, but people didn't know that was my last feature, so they had the doubt that the judges were underscoring me for that. I was like, no, it's all good. I know my top, it's too slow, and okay, there's a good part on my run, but it's not everything you need for a top, so for a top spot, you know, for a top three. So I was like, everything is okay, but okay, if there is any doubt, let me do it again. That's why I did it again. And I went to the finish line, and I was like, okay, now the job is done. I didn't go hurt. I went to the finish line. I did the thing I wanted to do, because I knew I wanted to front flip the Canyon Gap since last year already. Mm-hmm. And that was my goal. I mean, my only goal, two goals, was make it to the bottom and try to get a spot with a straight invite for the next event.
Yeah.
And I did those two. And besides that, I got Maastricht, People's Choice, and Magaza. So I was like, I got fifth instead of two goals. So let's go, you know, I'm a happy guy.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, we all know about the front flip. We all see the pictures and the video, but no one sees the hard work that goes into it before. And I mean, it all starts with training. And as we already said, I mean, it's really hard to train for those things. But how do you train?
I mean, usually what I say to the people who ask me, how do you get to the point that I am right now? It's all about progression. I mean, my first front flip was a 2 meters jump, you know? Then maybe with a dirt jump bike, I did a 14 meter jump maximum at the big airs in Fees, Montpellier and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. When I moved to big bike, then I could do 18s. Then I went to flat out ice event and it was a 23, then I did 23. So then I did at some point, I did a 25, I think somewhere. And then I did at dark phase, I did 30. So that is just a preparation through the years, going from smaller to bigger. Mm-hmm. You know, working on my confidence, working on my skills, making sure the setup of the bike is the right one, getting the time that I need to get used to the jump, and then just going for it. Yeah, it's just about progression. And it's the same for any trick.
And you said that you have your own jumps and you have a bike park close by. But what is the best spot for you to train for Rampage? I mean, what comes as close as possible?
What I do, it's a mix in between a downhill bike park, a free ride bike park, and my trick jump. Mm-hmm. So on my trick jump, I can get the settings and the tricks dialed properly to make sure I don't get bucked on any kicker or I over-rotate stuff and just making sure the tricks are there. Mm-hmm. Then I go to a free ride bike park, which is called Four Riders Bike Park, which is a tiny one but super fast, and it's got some jumps. So then I can work on my cornering speed, on my style, on my how aggressive I am, and then I go also to a bike park called Pure Riding Bike Park, which is more like downhill stuff. They have some steeps. And then I can work on exposure, on speed, on being also aggressive and the amplitude. You know, that's the mix I can practice where I am. Sometimes I go to Andorra as well, but Andorra is different. It's more like a rocky bike park. Yeah. So works on the physics though as well.
Yeah, I mean,
That's
what I. What to ask you next, because I mean, the one thing you have to deal with is crashes, because you crash a lot. You need to prepare for this. So how much of your training is the cool thing, riding your bike, and how much is just being in the gym and doing the shaping your body?
My gym right now, it's the moto.
Okay.
I'm riding two motos, 600cc and 190cc, on the racetrack, on MotoGP style, I mean, not the motocross. And honestly, this is giving me so much power. I make super long sessions and it's been really good. I also try to be a lot on the e-bike, but honestly, on the gym, I'm not so into it, because I get quickly bored of it. I have some weights in my garden. I sometimes use for my shoulders, because I had some surgeries in the past. So I just make sure I do some. I do quick runs. I do just a warm up, and then I do quick workouts on my shoulders. But besides that, I try to be on a handlebar as many hours as I can through the week. That's my mainly training, actually.
Okay, and I mean, since you're doing so many different events, and is there a different training to, let's say, Dirt Fest or to Rampage?
Honestly, I just ride everything I have over there, and most of it is everything I'm training for it. You never train for Rampage as soon as you're not at the venue, but I just try to be realistically close to the feelings I need to have with my bike, you know. Mm-hmm. So and also going to events like Nines right before Rampage, it's a good way to get the confidence full on.
Okay.
I'm trying to not risk as much as if I knew there's nothing after, but it is a good thing to get dialed as well.
Okay. And as we already said, I mean, there is a lot of building going into this event, and you really need to make the best out of the venue. So when do you start thinking about your line? Is it when you show up in Utah, or you start way before?
I mean, as soon as I go to the 2019 venue, and I know that since a couple of months ago, I could think about where I'm going, because I know the venue pretty good. I've been there not only for 2019 Rampage, but I've been there for practice and training. There's a bottom jump on the left of the venue that we go so often, because it's a super sick jump that Carson and Simon shaped for 2018 and 19. So I know I want to go more or less the same way I was going. I want to go straight down. I want to use the same start that I have. I want to build something to make the judges stoked on new features on the way. And maybe teaming up with someone for the rest of the line, so we get the time to build new stuff and with my own team, I mean. But mm-hmm. But if after I can just reshape stuff with some other teams, then should be a super sick line with lots of features that I can put tricks on it. So, and straight down and steep and exposed. So that's what I was missing last year, so that's what I want to add to my run this year. Okay. I have some big drops and some tricks, like a couple of trickable features, more 5 or 6 trickable features. But I also need the exposure, the shoots, and the speed, so that's what I want to add, and more or less I know where I'm going. But definitely need to talk with the riders that are going the same way to see if we can put something together and pays off.
And how do you develop your line? I mean, do you...
I go top to bottom.
So do you have tricks in mind you want to, and then you build stuff for these tricks, or you build a line and then you add the tricks on the line? So which way you go?
Usually depending on the features, the tricks are different, you know. For example, if you get to a drop that is really high but not long, it's gonna be hard to flip it because it's gonna be super slow. So I might do a 360 on it, for example, you know. And if it's a super long and low, I don't wanna three it because it's not that comfortable. I probably wanna do a front flip or a Superman or something like this. So the tricks, I just go to the venue, see the distances, and I say, okay, the easiest with the distance and the high will be do that. Then I adapt the jump to be the better possible to that trick. Okay. And this is and I go from top to bottom. On the top, they're probably gonna do the classic flat drop and mini step down thing. But after that, we are free to create whatever we want. So as soon as I get to the hills, then I know what I want to do. Then I adapt the spot to what I want to do. And I go from top to bottom. Because at the beginning of the week we are full of energy, then you want to climb to the top, but midweek you're already quite tired and you don't want to go to the top, so you go midsection.
This is smart.
I mean, usually not every team does it like that, but in my opinion, what I've learned in 2000, like the 2 years I've been competing, I like to start at the top or mid. But definitely don't leave the top for the end of the building, because at the end of the week, just go to the top of the mountain, it's just so much effort. Mm-hmm.
So how much energy is left in your body when the actual event is starting?
Usually I down my energy midweek already. But I just try to keep steady and consistent. Don't try too hard at the beginning, but stay with a decent amount of level of energy the whole week. Last year, last year I went to the hydration center, and they give me one of those injections with a lot of vitamin and na.
Okay.
I did that once because I got sick. Actually, people doesn't know that, but last year I was 39 degrees fever midweek, and I had to skip one morning of training. And when I went back to the venue at 12, I stayed the whole day with 39 degrees fever on the venue all day long. And at 9, I went at like 8 when the venue was kind of closed. I went to a hydration center. They give me that injection. And the next day, I was feeling way better. And that kept me going. I think this year, I'm going to take one of those every 3 days.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's especially the heat and the whole surrounding, it's so hard on the body, right?
Yeah, or part of the venue was in the sun all day long.
Yeah,
all day long through, or like exposed to the sun. There was no shadows for us.
Can you feel the difference? I mean, you're from Spain, you're used to the hot, but then there's Emil Johansson coming from Sweden, and he is...
Yeah, but it's different, it's dry.
Yeah,
Here in Spain it's humid. And I can be used to that, even if I don't really like to be warm and humid in Spain.
Yeah.
But it's okay, and probably something I'm used to it. But in Utah, it's super dry. You get so dehydrated so quick.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit different. Anyway, okay. No one's ready for being in the sun 12 hours a day.
That's right. So you already told about teaming up with other riders, and I mean, you have your own team, and when do you start thinking about the lines with your team, and when do you start to team up with other rider and other teams?
So actually, where I'm going this year, the 2-3 riders that were going that way, they're not competing anymore. So for now, I am alone, so I don't know who's gonna go that way. For sure someone's going, because the left side of the venue is pretty busy. So for sure some of the new riders or someone is going to change his line and go to the way I'm going. And then once I get to the venue on the scoping day, then I will know. I know, I prepared my guys. They know what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But for sure need to talk with someone once I'm there.
Okay. And is there a gentleman agreement that if you and your team build a certain jump, that they are not allowed to use it?
Yeah, it is mandatory to team up with people if they want to go to some part of the mountain. But once you've done your thing, if it's built, then you can decide if you want someone else to go through. For example... on the scoping day, I meet someone that wants to go my way. I'm gonna go, okay, we do those 2-3 features together, and then the rest you do by your own. I do by my own. So we have things clear.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually what happens. But if you go to the venue and that day no one's saying nothing, and you just you choose your line. Then at some point, once someone wants to go your way, you can decide if you let this guy use your first feature, and then you can tell the guy, okay, then now you build the next 2 features, because we put some work, you did nothing here, then you can say that. But if you don't want, you can say no, and then you disagree with someone. Because if you build something, there is no rights for someone to come and say, okay, I'm going through there, because you build it, looks cool, and then I'm going through there. You can say no. I mean, there's been some fights about that in the past.
Okay. Yeah.
As soon as you talk with everyone and you make sure you have things clear and you're okay with that. For example, me last year I team up with Simon, and maybe too much, because we did almost the same line all the way. But we agree, so no one could complain about it. But probably the judges, they seen that, and this wasn't paying on my side, you know, because it's not the same for the judges to see that you create a completely new crazy feature that if you just rebuild and modify something that are already done. That's something I want to change as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I want to go on a line and create something new in the middle, but use my old top and reshape something at the bottom, you know? So then I have a bit of everything.
Okay. As you said, I mean, last year you showed up at Rampage and you had 2 goals, and you you reached 5 of them. So what are your goals for this year? You have any special trick in the bag, or you have any big goals for this year?
I mean, honestly, the goals are the same. I want to make it to the bottom safe, and I want to be in the top 8 to be straight qualified for the next year. That's my only goal, I will say. Everything on top of that is an extra, and I will be happy about it, but I don't want to be stressing myself for more than when already being alive and able to compete the next year. It's more than what I want, you know. Okay. And I do have some things in my mind. Yeah, I want to put like a good amount of tricks in a run, maybe a huge 360 and like a flat drop 360. I will be happy to put a huge one, the biggest one till now for me. Mm-hmm. I will be happy just to go one step higher on that, and then make sure I put some of my style in the middle of the mountain, be fast, be loose, and make it to the bottom in a quick run, but with lots of things happening on the way.
Okay, so that sounds pretty good, and I really can't wait to the event to start, and sitting here in my living room and watching you on television and and see how all your plans worked out. So hey, it was super interesting to talk a little bit before
Rampage. I appreciate that. It's actually good to hear my own self, so then I know what I want. Because I can think about it, but it's not the same when you talk to someone and you expose your point of view. Then I'm pretty happy. I have things clear. I know what I want, and I have a good team, and I believe it's gonna go in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds really good. So thanks a lot for your time. I wish you all
pleasure.
The best for Rampage and for the road
to
Rampage.
Friend. And thank you so much.
Hopefully, we have the chance to chat again after Rampage and see if all
for
the
sure. It will be a pleasure.
Perfect. So thanks
Let's
a lot,
see.
And
okay.
talk soon.
Bye bye. Thanks to you. Bye bye.